Hey there, this is Shahid Chaudhary, Senior Technical Evangelist at Microsoft. We're here to learn about how you can win the best Microsoft hack at your college hackathon. Whether you're building a web app or a mobile app or some other cloud solution using machine learning or analytics, Microsoft Azure is the cloud for you. So how do you win the best Microsoft hack? Well, a hint is you should use the cloud, Microsoft's Azure cloud, of course. Make sure you check out my website at wakeupandcode.com to look for the presentation material for this video. You can also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @ShahidC, which is my first name and last initial. So you might be asking, well, why the cloud? The best way to explain it is to explain what the cloud brings you in terms of helping you build your product and to have to worry less about maintaining things that you don't have to worry about. On the very left here, I have a bunch of layers of your application, all the way from your application and its data, down to the OS, and all the way down to the hardware or virtualization that supports your OS. To the left of it, I have infrastructure as a service, also known as IaaS in the cloud world. In this case, you still manage your application and data, and also the OS that it runs on, but the lower layer of the VMs, virtual machines, and servers and everything below it is managed by your vendor, in this case Microsoft, on Azure. If you want to take it a step further, you could go with our platform as a service where you worry about only your application and its data and let Microsoft worry about everything else. For example, if you want to quickly build a web app and just deploy to the cloud, all you need is an endpoint or a URL to deploy your application to. You can also build mobile services this way. If you do need the full power of a virtual machine, whether it's Linux or Windows, you could go with the IaaS service that we mentioned earlier and take care of your VM in itself. And finally, all the way to the right, I have a column for software as a service or SaaS. You could use one of many SaaS products provided by Microsoft, but at a hackathon, you yourself will be building software that runs on Microsoft's PaaS or IaaS services. Which brings us to Azure. So the last time I did this presentation, we had a certain number of regions and data centers around the world. Throughout 2015, we had around 17 regions at one point. In 2016, that number went up really fast. So we ended up with 24 regions around the world, and we have surpassed Amazon's AWS and Google Cloud combined for data centers and regions. Well, as of today, Microsoft now has 30 regions around the world, and here's a screen capture I got from a tweet during the Build conference that Microsoft had recently. You can see Microsoft's quickly growing, and this is important to you because no matter where you are in the world, you can rest assured that your application will be supported across different regions around the world for the best performance possible. And in case of redundancy, you know that if there is an outage in one area, you will be able to use redundant servers and regions to back up your application. Here's an example of how Titanfall used Azure VMs around the world to make sure they're able to provide service for all the gamers out there. So again, they used over 100,000 virtual machines and were able to bring them up and down on an as-needed basis. So no matter how big or how small your project is, you can scale up and down based on your own needs. Let's see a quick demo of the Azure portal. We're going to jump to a web browser. Here I'm using the Google Chrome browser to show you that you can use any browser, whether it's Edge or Chrome or Firefox, to log in to Azure. You could even do it on your Windows or Mac machine. So I have a couple of things that are visible right now on my dashboard. I've created some Minecraft servers earlier. But let's say I just want to quickly create a web app. I could click New on the top left, which you see up here. And once I click New, I can either search for something or click on one of these options. If I choose a web plus mobile option, you'll see that I have a web app that I can click on. Let's try that. So a web app will allow you to create anything from .NET to Java to Python. A lot of different technologies are available under the web app banner. So let's call it Hack Web App. And you'll see that there's a little exclamation mark. It says it's not available. So someone's already taken it. So we'll just call it Hack Web App 9000. And it says that it's available. I'm going to go ahead and choose a resource group for it. So the resource groups allows you to join multiple Azure resources at the same time so you can manage them more easily. If I click the dropdown, you'll see I have a bunch of resource groups that are already created. So let's just choose one of those instead. And I can choose an App Service Planner location. You'll see that it's chosen one for me, but I want to create another App Service Plan. So let's say I choose a location in East US. That's one of the regions. And I just want to call it App Service Plan East. And let's choose a pricing tier for it. By default, it's choosing S1 or standard, but there are several tiers available. So I'm going to go ahead and select the free tier for this web app. Once I click OK, I can check the Pin to Dashboard checkbox so I can see it later on much more easily and click the Create button. You'll notice that a little pop-up has come up in this notifications bar on the very top, and it says deployment started. Now, this is actually a really quick process because I chose to add it to my tiles on my dashboard. There's also a deploying web app tile that just appeared automatically here. Now, you could sit and wait here or get up and take a quick break while this web app is being created. But this is actually a very quick process. So usually when I'm doing a live demo of the web app creation, I'll stand at the podium, click the button, and generate this new web app. And by the time I walk across the room, within a few seconds, you'll notice that the web app is actually done being created. So I'll just talk through the next couple of seconds, wait until it's done, and I'll give you a sneak preview as to what I'll be doing next. So after this web app is created, which you can see it just got created and a bunch of blades just popped up, we're going to take a look at how to create virtual machines. There's a URL right here that I can click on. It actually says hackwebapp9000.azurewebsites.net. If I click on that, it opens up another tab and it shows me there's a real live website. And it gives me some links that I can click on so I can actually update this website. So I can use Git or source control to update the web app. I can use FTP to update my raw files, or I can also use several IDEs such as Visual Studio or even Web Matrix. Let's go ahead and close that tab, go back to the Azure portal. I'm going to close these tabs. And next, let's create a virtual machine. Click New, and we'll click Virtual Machines. And one of the options here is Windows Server, and I also see Ubuntu Server and a bunch of other pre-configured servers. If I click on Windows Server here, I have to click Create, and I will have to add in some additional information, such as the name of the machine and a username to get into it. So let's call it Hack VM 9000. Let's give it a name and maybe a password. Let's see if there's a resource group I can use. I could choose that same resource group there. Choose East US as a location. And I don't want to save that password. And in this case, I could choose a standard VM and click Select. After I've chosen the size, there's some other optional settings I can use. I can click OK to enable all of these. But one thing to note here, there is something called Availability Set. This allows you to set multiple virtual machines that are identical so that when you're scaling your application through multiple VMs, you can put them into the same set. This allows you to ensure that when there's upgrades or potential outages, one of your VMs will always be available because they're not on any common racks or hardware. So none of the VMs in an availability set will share the same physical underlying hardware or even underlying switch or rack. So let's go ahead and click OK for that. I only have one machine, so I've chosen none for that. And now I have all my information for this VM I'm trying to create here. So I'll click OK there. And this time, I'll give it a couple more minutes. A VM could take from 8 to 10 minutes to get created. So when I click on the pop-up on the top, it says deployment started. So we'll just let that keep going. And we'll jump right back to our PowerPoint slides to see what else is available. We've seen a quick demo of the Azure portal. So let's jump right into Azure services. There's many different services you can create. With the app service, you can create both mobile and web services. There's notification hubs for backend notifications for mobile services. There are also multiple development tools you can hook into Azure as well. And I'll provide some links so you can get more information about each of these. Aside from the developer and app platform, we also have data and analytics, Internet of Things or IoT support, and finally, as part of the cloud infrastructure, you can get access to VMs and other items in the Azure cloud. Under app services, we have web apps, mobile apps, logic apps, and API apps. Web apps, as you've seen, allows you to build websites or web applications. Mobile apps allow you to build a backend for a mobile service, even if it's on iOS or Android. And you can also let Azure generate your client project for you, whether it's for Android in Java or for iOS in Swift or Objective-C. Logic apps let you build application logic where if one thing happens, you want something else to happen. Maybe you want to track a certain number of tweets that are coming in with a certain hashtag and you want it to take some other action. And API apps finally let you build an API in the backend that can be consumed by a variety of front ends. So how do you go about using any of these? So web apps, as you can see from the URL at the bottom, is part of Azure. And it also, the website gives you details not only about the app itself, but also provides some documentation. So if you don't remember the long URLs here, just download this presentation at wakeupandcode.com and you'll be able to get the details on each of those links. But you can also search using your favorite search engine. So let's say you were to go into search engine and type in Azure space web apps. Usually the top links are part of Azure's official documentation. The languages that are supported, languages and frameworks include .NET, Java, PHP, Node.js, and Python. In case you want to do even more, such as Ruby on Rails, you can always set up a virtual machine and set up the machine yourself to support any language you'd like. Under the mobile app platform, as I mentioned, we have support for iOS, Android, and Windows. And just as you've seen on the other screens, I do have a clickable link at the bottom. So again, when you download this presentation, you can click each of these links or go directly to my website to view more details about mobile apps. Logic apps allow you to integrate multiple things that are in separate systems. Let's say if you want to create some workflow based on some action happening, you wanted to take some action based on some tweets or social media, things that are happening around you, you can trigger another application using logic apps. So basically connecting and integrating apps that are in separate systems. And finally, API apps allow you to expose data on an as-needed basis with some level of security that you choose. And you can also share information from one system to another. And again, you can build a backend API to support multiple front ends. So what's good? What good is a mobile app unless you have some sort of notifications to allow the user to be more engaged, right? So the platforms we have supported are iOS, Android, Windows, and Kindle as well. So you're able to build notification systems that can support multiple front-end system. So you don't have to worry about building custom notification systems for each item on each platform. You can actually go ahead and use the Notification Hub to allow you to reuse some of your work across multiple platforms. In case you'd want to go beyond Azure and also use one of our APIs, the Bing Developer Center at bing.com/dev has a bunch of APIs you could use. This includes maps or speech or translator and search, and lots of different items that you could jump into. You can also use the OneDrive API, which is supported beyond Windows on iOS and Android as well, or even for a web app. So basically, if you need some document storage or a way to save and retrieve documents, OneDrive is a place to go. To go beyond just documents, if you want to integrate with a OneNote API, the application itself is available on many different platforms. You can also hook into the API itself to help in your project. And going beyond OneNote is the Office 365 API that lets your website or your mobile app connect to more than just the user's email. It can also get into the calendar or contacts and other files that are in the system based on a user being authenticated. So you might be wondering, well, how do I get all of these services, right? You might have to sign up for Azure. Well, the good news is that we'll be providing Azure passes at every hackathon. And you can also sign up yourself in Azure.com, but we will provide free Azure passes for you to use. On the back end of your application, you'll need to store some data and analytics. So here we support Microsoft's very own SQL database and also additional types of data stores, such as for big data, you have HD Insight, which is Hadoop in the cloud. And you also have DocumentDB, a NoSQL implementation. That's an alternative to other NoSQL available DBs that are out there, such as MongoDB. If you want to do some business intelligence, in order to take intelligent action, you can use a combination of Power BI, machine learning, analytics, and lots of other things that are available in Azure. And you can combine a bunch of different database options or just use one that you would like to use. On the left here, I have Microsoft's enterprise-level SQL Server, and one of our competitors' products, Oracle, is also available in the Azure cloud. On the right here, I have MySQL, which is very popular for PHP applications on the LAMP stack, and MongoDB, a very popular NoSQL implementation. Down at the bottom, we have Hadoop in the cloud called HD Insight in Azure. And right in the middle, we have DocumentDB, Microsoft's very own NoSQL. For SQL database, you can get not only a primary database, but also secondary replicas as you're developing your application. This ensures there's some level of high availability and redundancy as you're using Azure. SQL Data Warehouse is a fairly new feature. This allows you to store tons of data, not just terabytes, but petabytes of data. So this is something that you can use to store a variety of data from different sources. So definitely check that out if you have that need. And you can tie it all together by using some machine learning by getting the information intelligence out of your data and back into your app service to make your application more usable and useful. In order to make some of that data more visually appealing, we can use some of the data visualization tools offered by Power BI, including getting the data out in Excel format or any format that you'd need to be able to visualize that data. We'll wrap up with HD Insight, which is essentially big data on Hadoop. You can develop in either Java or .NET and other technologies as well, and you can deploy to both Windows and Linux. So we mentioned machine learning a bunch of times. So what machine learning gives you is predictive analytics. This allows you to do your data modeling, and you can deploy your solution within minutes. And this allows you to expand your reach to more people in more places by providing something of value to them for their data. Next, we have Azure Media Services. So here's an example of how Microsoft's Azure Cloud was used for reaching millions of viewers for live events. So if this is something you'd like to do either at the hackathon or experiment with it for future use, this is definitely something that's available for you to use. And if you like devices and Internet of Things, Microsoft Azure is there for you as well. You can use the new IoT suite to connect and monitor different devices and just find new ways of innovating around this new space. The Internet of Things can be used along with event hubs, notification hubs, stream analytics, and machine learning as well. So again, a lot of these services work very well together. And in case you need a constant stream of data, stream analytics is a good way to go. And to pull it all together, you can use Power BI for Office 365 to build some intelligence around your data. So the last part here says cloud infrastructure. This includes the virtual machine that we looked at earlier. And you can also set up virtual networks and set up some authentication around Active Directory, which is Microsoft's authentication mechanism. A lot of different things you can do in our cloud infrastructure. So at this point, we can actually go into back into our Azure portal to see if our virtual machines has been deployed yet. So the options here are Windows or Linux servers or something that's pre-configured for you. So let's go ahead and jump straight into our Azure portal again. And if you look at this toolbar in the top, you'll notice that it still says deployment started. So again, it's still going. So we're going to go ahead and click on that icon right there and see how it's doing. So right now, the machine just got kicked off, and there are a bunch of different tags here that give you timestamps as to what's going on. And as it's going through different steps are being provisioned, it should be created within a few minutes, and you should see an update that says your machine has been deployed. So let's go ahead and close that for now, and we'll check back with this again a couple of minutes later. So back into our slides. The next slide here shows you different things you can do with virtual machines. You can get started with the management portal that we just looked at. And you can also use scripting, whether it's on Windows, Linux, or Mac, to interact with your VMs. You can use a REST API to interact with your VMs as well. And there's different sizes you can choose from. So whether you want something small or something large that's optimized for certain scenarios, you can choose between both Windows servers and Linux servers. And finally, you can have a blob storage in the cloud that works with your VMs as well. There's some recent infrastructure enhancement that Microsoft announced. So on the left here, we talk about end-to-end management of your machines and systems using the portal or application templates. You can also have role-based access control that allows other people to come in into your cloud. So let's say you have a team of people working on your project, you can set up different users and roles to make sure people only get access to what they can. And you can also use a billing API to make sure that you're staying up to date with how your billing is going on. So again, for a hackathon, you will get access to free Azure passes, so you won't have to worry about the billing portion. But once you start using Azure in the real world, this is something that you can consider. Right in the middle, we have this premium storage option, which now gives you up to 64 terabytes of storage per VM. And again, this is something that's fairly new, giving you very high input-output operations per VM, and also very low latency as well. At this point in time, Microsoft also has the largest VMs in the public cloud. Again, really massive machines with multiple cores, lots of RAMs, and multiple terabytes of space and SSDs as well with new generations of Intel processors. So again, you will find that Microsoft is very competitive with the other alternative offerings that are out there, and we do provide quite a compelling amount of choices for you to use. And next, we have a new announcement. There's a new set of NVIDIA virtual machines that allow you to have GPUs in the cloud. These have super fast RDMA networks that are behind them, and you can use them to do anything you would want in the cloud with high-performance GPUs. So the first thing that I heard when these were announced was that people asked if you could be mining Bitcoins in the cloud. Again, that's totally up to you. I would not recommend it either way. The GPUs were announced by NVIDIA to be available in Microsoft's cloud as well. So what will you do with Azure today? On the left here, I have the choice of websites or web apps or web APIs. If you just want to get started today, do something simple. You can start at dreamspark.com and sign up as long as you have a .edu email address. If you're in high school, you can always ask a Microsoft representative for free DreamSpark code. This will allow you to quickly get up to speed with a web app or web API. If you want to do a little more, maybe you want to do some mobile services, create a VM, do some machine learning or notifications or anything else you might want to do in Azure, you do need more than just a DreamSpark account. You can sign up using a free Azure Pass, which a Microsoft representative can provide for you at any hackathon event that we're sponsoring. Now, this is not just available for your weekend hackathon. It is good for 30 days. So let's say you're done using your Azure resources during your project. After the event is over, you can continue to use these services for another 30 days. So again, please ask anyone at the Microsoft desk or Microsoft representative that you're in contact with, so you can get the free pass to get started with. So with that, I'll leave you with my contact information. My name is Shahid Chaudhary, and my email there is shchowd@microsoft.com. That's part of my first name and my last name at microsoft.com. And my Twitter handle is @ShahidC. That's my first name and last initial. And thank you for watching this video. We hope you build something really cool in Azure.